WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. For to our friends over at MBG Films, check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And tonight, y'all, we are here to talk all about WrestleMania Night 2. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Night 2?
There was a Night 2? There wasn't just a Night 1, there was a Night 2?
There was two nights. It was a two nights. The most stupendous WrestleMania ever. It was two nights of shenanigans.
You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us here tonight, chat, because we got a lot to get into. We're only talking WrestleMania Night 2, WrestleMania Sunday on the show, so no tweet of the week, no news, no nothing. All that returns next week, so guess what, chat? Next week, there's like 3 weeks of news. You've been warned, there's like 3 weeks. It's not a lot yet, but it's like 3 weeks of news.
Yeah.
So we're going to catch you all up on everything that's going on, because there's stuff that's been happening. We just don't have the time to talk about it.
Yeah, because we have a lot to talk about on night two of WrestleMania. Things happened.
Okay.
Jackassery happened,
which we'll get into, but the show started off on night two with
a punch to the heart.
With a punch to the heart and a punch to the feels, it was the game. Triple H making a surprise appearance at WrestleMania. He did his full entrance, he got a huge ovation from the crowd. Yeah, everything was, that was special. He came out, put his boots, he introduced Gable Steveson, he put his boots on the mat. Basically signifying his retirement. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
It's a bittersweet moment because we don't want Hunter to go, especially like this. But I'm really, really glad that they gave him the grand send-off in front of the fans and they let him say goodbye, because I think that was like the most heartbreaking thing when he made the announcement was like, oh my God, he never got to wrestle. Like his final match was literally his final match. I think it was against Shinsuke.
It was something in Japan.
I think the last time he wrestled was the Beast in the East.
No, because that was the paper. No. It was some random house show in Japan following WrestleMania, whatever year that was, 35?
Was he over there trying to work the Performance Center deal?
He may have been, but it was like, he was running the tour in Japan, and he was advertised because he was coming off of the Batista match.
That's right.
And so he went over to Japan, he did a tag match and some sort of singles match, I think it was Shinsuke?
Yeah,
so
I think it was Shinsuke.
It's very conflicting, whether it was against Shinsuke or was the tag match. People have their dates in a row, but
because I've heard Shinsuke and I've heard Randy were the last match, but I think it's Shinsuke.
I'm not 100% sure. It's one of them.
But it's a shame that like the last match that we never got to see.
We did get to see
technically a last match at WrestleMania, but yeah,
which was fitting because it was like his career was on the line in that match.
It's incredibly ironic.
It really was.
Honestly,
and, like it was so ironic that it happened. No, it was Randy. He teamed with Shinsuke against Rude and Joe, and then he fought. Randy was on Raw, so it was against Joe and Rude. The Randy match wasn't a match on Raw. It was a segment.
Anyway, he didn't get the grand send off a few years ago.
Oh, I know. No, I just saw it on Raw. It said Raw. I was like, wait, and I remembered. All right, it's in front of nobody with the screens. Right.
I remember that now. But yeah, so he didn't get to go out in front of the fans, so this was a nice gesture to let him say goodbye in front of the fans, and we all get to say thank you to Hunter for everything that he's done, because it's sad the way that he had to retire, and I'm so glad that he's healthy and he's okay and he's made a recovery, but like, damn, just what happened to him is super scary.
It was. It really, really was. And it was cool to see him on Saturday at Stand Deliver, called Takeover. Mm-hmm. It's no longer Takeover, it's Stand Deliver. And he came out during one of the commercial Peacock breaks and celebrated or hugged it with Ciampa. I was like, all right, if that's the final moment we get to see of him in front of a camera for a while, that was cool. So the fact I'll take that all day, because he looked very happy with Tommaso, even though they were both crying.
Well, basically, he made Tommaso say goodbye because Tommaso didn't want to say goodbye, and Hunter basically drug him back out there and was like, oh, no, we're going to do this.
Yeah. And, like, and everyone, like, he gave a big, got the big ovation on Sunday, so it was like, it was a cool double weekend to see him. It was like, yeah, it was very cool.
I just need to talk to a manager about having to say goodbye to Hunter and Taker in the same night.
I mean, you got to say goodbye to Taker months ago.
But, like, this Sunday was it. Sunday was the final goodbye.
We think.
I don't know. We're going to have to get the spritzy bottle because he said never say never. And it's like, Mark, no. Honey, no. Mister, please, no.
Mr. Never Say Never, brother. It's pro wrestling. You never know.
No, Mark, no.
I mean, Sean said no forever. Then he showed back up one time.
No.
I mean,
we love you, Mark, but no.
Lindsay, the Saudi prince comes calling.
He could manage people. He's a really good talker. He could do commentary. They have to make it wider because he paces, but he could do commentary.
When the Saudi prince comes calling, you never know.
No, please, Mark, no. No.
No.
Honey, no.
No. No.
Go out on the Boneyard match. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how AJ apparently said, too, that, like, Taker wouldn't return his calls.
I mean, yeah, because he knew. Taker knew. Like, well, now that we're getting crowns, you know. You
wanna
do this again? We can do this in front of when we get people back. I mean, we can go again next year at WrestleMania. It's like, we're going to have a crowd. You know, come on. Huh? Nah. Though Taker says, I mean, he could muster out another one.
I mean, if he really wants to, he can, but no. Anyway, moving on. This was a very special moment, and it was cool.
It was really cool, yeah. It was the wrestling tradition. You leave your boots in the ring. Like Taker did back in WrestleMania 33. He left his boots and hats and everything. And
no, I don't think he took his boots off. He left the hat and the coat.
He left his gear there. He left his hat and coat, same symbolic message. And it was like, and then the next year he came back for them.
I left these here. I'm sorry. I'm just going to pick them up now. Okay, thanks. Bye.
They just magically appeared, and then they magically appeared on his body. Imagine that.
Well, I mean, it is the Undertaker. Taker magic.
He has the Taker magic, yes.
But yeah, so the show officially opened with the tag team titles being on the lines as RK-Bro took on the Street Profits and Alpha Academy.
I really like this match.
This was a fun, fun match.
These three teams have great chemistry together. They all play off each other so well. And Montez Ford decided to, you know, go right for it at times. With nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But the crowd loves Riddle and Orton together. No doubt about it. It's like everyone, every week, it's like whenever we're breaking them up, it's like, why break them up? The crowd loves them. They're having fun. Everyone's having fun with it. And it's like, the moment they came in the ring to do the double DD, Randy's double DDT spot, the crowd went bonkers.
Oh, yeah. They were into this. They were super into this.
It was so cool. And then, oh, God. After all the back and forth and all the big moves and everything, yeah, let's just do, you know, a double RKO spot, basically. Montez was on the top rope. Riddle does an RKO, a springboard RKO. And then Gable came off the top rope. And then Orton dropped him with an RKO. It was just like, I don't know which was better. I think the, part of me thinks the Riddle one was better. Part of me thinks it was the Riddle one because it was a different version of the RKO. But it's like, Randy timing it with Gable was spot on. The only reason I may take it away from the Montez Riddle one is how it got set up with Montez leaning forward a little bit, because that kind of looked a little weird to set it up, but it was so fantastic.
I have to kind of give it to Riddle here, like it was a little bit, it was different.
Yeah.
Because
there's no way Randy's doing a springboard.
No, there's no way Randy's doing a springboard, but both of them were very, very good, but I kind of have to give it to Riddle here just because he got a little bit more creative with it.
Yeah. RK-Bro would end up retaining the tag team titles. And then afterwards, I thought, oh, here it comes. What I predicted was actually going to happen. You have the Street Profits get in the ring. They're bringing the red solo cups in the ring. And it's like, oh, they're going to turn heel. This is going to be the moment. They're going to fake giving them the drink and then attack. That's where we're going to get it, right? No. Oh, no. They invite Gable Steveson, who was in the front row after Hunter announced him, came in the ring and they gave him a cup and they were all about to celebrate. But then Chad Gable told them all to shoosh.
Which was great.
And he knocked the drink out of his hand, and then it's like, he went face to face with Gable Steveson, and Gable Steveson just sort of sent Chad Gable flying.
Which we all accept.
And then they all got their toast afterwards. Randy doesn't have a bad neck.
As far as I know, he doesn't. I mean, he's got a bad collarbone.
Because he broke his shoulder. His shoulders are messed up, but not neck. His neck is, from all accounts, fine. But yeah, you know, he's popped out his shoulders multiple times. But yeah, this whole opening, this whole segment, it's like, if it wasn't very evident between the two nights of WrestleMania, Gable Steveson is someone they're putting all their eggs behind. Like, they had Steph introduce him on the ramp on night one. Hunter gave him the intro on night two. Then he had this big moment with Randy and the teams and everything like that. I know the internet overreacted about things, but we're not gonna talk about it. Yeah. They're making Gable Steveson, they want Gable Steveson to be something, and nothing wrong with it.
They see their future in him, and they're going to make him a very, very big deal, because honestly, he is a very big deal. He's a huge signing for them. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He can go off and do whatever he wants in sports, and he's coming to WWE. That's a big get. So they're going to make sure that right from the gate, they're like, this guy is our guy, because they have to begin building that next round of superstars. And they know that. And Gable Steveson is one of those people that they're going to put the eggs behind.
As they should.
As they absolutely should. So yeah, I have no problem introducing him like this. I have no problem with him getting involved with this. I think it's a great way to introduce him. I think it's a great way to get him in front of the fans. Why not basically put your future out there in front of, you know, the world? Because this is the one event where the world is watching.
Yeah, yeah.
It's WrestleMania. Like, you know, casual fans, people that haven't watched in a year, all the way to hardcore fans, everybody's watching this show that wants to watch this show. You know, they put out the numbers for how much WrestleMania made, and it was in the 30 to 40, I think, million dollar range.
Did they?
I thought they did. Like, I think they said it was like, or maybe it might have been projected like 30 to 60, something like that.
That was more, yeah, they haven't announced anything, but it was like viewership was up 58% from last year.
So it's a big deal. And I absolutely approve of that. I think the whole thing was a great opener. It was a good start. It was a nice lift after the Hunter segment because we're all sitting there crying. I thought this was really good.
Yeah, sounds like Cable's the next Kurt Angle. I mean, if he's anywhere between the next Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar...
Dude, they're set.
They're set. Because both Brock and Kurt were amateur athletes. I don't think Brock won gold medals, but he was winning... He was a top-tier...
I think he was a Golden Gloves, wasn't he?
I think so. He was a top-tier division athlete in college. If he could be anywhere in between the two of them...
If Gable has any of Brock Lesnar's prowess and ability, which I almost am assured he does, he probably has more considering the fact that he won a gold medal for amateur wrestling, they are going to be completely set. Because he already understands the concept. Now what it's down to is teaching him how to work the moves as opposed to doing them legit. It's like Ronda. It's like Brock. It's like Kurt. They all had the basis of the understanding of what it was, but now you have to teach them how to basically work the move. And that's what they have to learn and work in front of a crowd and cut promos and that kind of stuff. So you're getting into the more finite stuff with them because they kind of already understand the moves. It's just teaching them the more specialized things and a bump. I mean, they have to learn how to bump, obviously, but like they already understand what a suplex is. They already understand what a chokehold is. They already understand the moves. I already got that. They're good. Now it's just everything else. So yeah, I expect great things from Gable Stevenson. I'm not going to lie. I really, really do. I think he's a quality get, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to do.
Indeed.
Up next, we had Bobby Lashley taking on Omos in a singles match. There's not a lot to write home about. This was kind of a quick little match, which is exactly what it needed to be. And I guess a surprise of the night for me, Bobby Lashley beat Omos.
Yeah, okay. This was an awkward match. This was, when you look at and think about Vince McMahon style booking, this is his match.
Yeah.
Big muscle guy versus tall guy. This is Vince McMahon's specialty, and he knows how to get them over. And it was like, they were doing things, and they went, you know, they went at it, but it's like, I never got the real feel for this match. There was a couple awkward spots, but for the most part, like, it was technically fine. Like, you went for the hurt lock and almost just powered right out of it and stuff like that. It's like, okay, I see where they're going. But the spear in the back, and then it was, like, very awkward. They did it again in the main event. It's like, I don't know if that was the greatest spot. I understand it, but it's like, And also, Omos losing. And I thought he was, like, the weird was the build was, like, he was the babyface for a while because he was beating up the heels, and then Bobby shows up, so he became the heel, and Bobby's the babyface. And then Bobby gets the big win because I guess he's the babyface, and then he gets turned on Monday. And it's like, I don't know. You spent a year building up Omos, and he's only lost, like, one match, and he hasn't been pinned at all and all, and this was it. And it's like, him losing didn't feel like as big of a deal as it should have. Like the big monster was defeated, I guess, because Omos only squashed people forever. He never had, like, his only big win I was against AJ, and they even made that a squash. So it's like, there was no big, in a year, Omos spent half of it as a tag guy, and then the back half as a single, and he never had that big, like, big momentum win. Like, beating AJ didn't do much for him, as it should have, because they only gave it, like, 3 minutes on Raw 1 week, because they were moving AJ away and almost away to do this, I guess. I don't know. It didn't do what it should have. And maybe turning him full heel with MVP, but I thought about it. I was like, is MVP going to be the focus, and Omos is going to be back to being the big meathead muscle again? I don't know. We'll see. I wasn't a huge fan of the outcome.
It was more of a surprising outcome, but they also have to keep Bobby Lashley strong. The feud's going to continue because it continued on Monday night where you had MVP betray Bobby Lashley to go with Omos. And I think that's a good move for him because I like Omos. I think he has a lot of personality, but I think in the long term, he's going to kind of struggle a little bit. So to give him someone like MVP who can talk, who can get over, who can do all the things, and Omos can stand there and look mean, I think that will help him a lot. And then he kind of, you know, kind of interjects here or there. And Bobby Lashley, I think Bobby Lashley and MVP have kind of gone as far as they can go together. I don't think you can do anything else because the Hurt Business is gone. It's out of business.
Yeah, it's completely out of business.
So, like, that kind of sort of blew up, and then it really didn't go anywhere because I don't think they really knew what to do with it. So it was like, okay, all right. But, I mean, Bobby Lashley is rebuilt. I think they need to do a little bit more with him, but he's right there on the cusp of the main event scene if they need him.
Yeah.
So I think he's in a good spot, and this will give him something to do.
Yeah, Omos was the Raw Underground Bouncer, yeah.
Yeah. So he's come very far.
He's come very far in a couple years. All right, let's talk about stupidity.
Okay, so in the match that has just utterly enraged the IWC, Johnny Knoxville takes on Sami Zayn in an anything-goes match, a.k.a. pure jackassery.
It started with Johnny being announced 2 cheeseburgers away from 175 pounds.
I mean, it's a quality announcement.
Like, everything about this was great. Your purists hated it, and I understand why purists would hate it. But if you can take the stick out of your ass for 1 minute, and then look at it as an entertainment aspect, this was fantastic. I mean, it's no cursing of a person on other programs, but hey, here we are. Sami Zayn is the man. He made Johnny Knoxville and his jackassery crew look like $1 million.
This was utterly stupid, utterly pointless.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining as fuck.
It was. We had everything early on from, you know, your typical, hey, here's your cooking sheet, and here's your crotch, and your garbage can, and fire extinguisher, and everything like that. So we got Sammy pulling out a table full of mousetraps, which we'll get back to.
That was a story in and of itself.
It really, really was. And then Johnny starts firing back, and he, you know, all these things. And then Sammy takes back control, and then, oh, forget his name, Ponius?
I don't know. All I remember is white cheeks and a jean thong.
So there's a slight delay between me and Lindsay as we were watching, and I'm just going, oh my god, what the hell am I watching? And she's wondering what I'm talking about. And I go, you'll see.
And then all of a sudden, there's a guy dressed as a Chippendale in the ring, and he's gyrating, and I'm like, what is going on right now? And then the pants came off. And then we had hot pant, like, jean thong things going on, which I've only ever seen women wear those. I've never seen a man in them. I'm not opposed, just there were some questionable shots that occurred when that happened. I saw more of that man than I wanted to.
Yeah, he's the jackass party boy.
But, like, that happened, that occurred, and he's dancing and gyrating and running around the ring in his jean thong thing. I don't even know what to call it. It's not shorts. It doesn't apply as shorts. There's too much ass going on.
Call it a thong. It's a thong.
It's a thong. It's absolutely a thong.
Yeah. So the Johnny eventually, or Sammy eventually gets rid of him and tosses him under the ring, and then, like, he's kicking him under the ring, and then there's some sort of disruption. And it's like, oh, it's Wee Man.
Wee Man Slam, baby.
Wee Man came out. They had some robot leg that was used at some point during this. Wee Man's body slammed Sami Zayn, the slam of herd around the world.
Oh my god, people went insane for that.
That's a brand new meme, and it's fantastic. And then we got, like, complete stupidity, and Sammy was going to the top rope, and somehow Johnny Knoxville had a buzzer to set off pyro. And it was like, we did the pyro. We did the bowling ball bit where he threw the bowling ball into the corner of Sami Zayn. We had we had the low blow with the robot foot.
Yeah, then we had another shot to the nuts to the foot, and then I think there was a third one. With the taser. Yeah, because I remember sitting there, and it was at this point in the match that I'm like, you know, I'm not one to usually say this, but I think that's enough shots to the groin region for a while. I think we're all good.
But there were more than that. There was more.
Oh, there were plenty more than that. It was gratuitous.
But Sammy got back into it, and then we saw Sammy run into Mae Young's hand.
Yeah, he got slapped back. His momentum got slapped because they literally had a giant hand at ringside that just slapped him into oblivion.
So you got all the jackass bits, the foot, the hand, and all this stuff. So Sammy goes. gets control. He's like, I got this. Going back up, there's no pyro this time. He's good. But Johnny gets back up with the tongs, grabs him by the dick with the tongs, tosses him onto the mousetrap table. So while Sammy is selling that, the crew brings in the giant mousetrap. They use the taser on Sammy and put him on the mousetrap, and it snaps on them. It didn't quite snap at the right time, but it eventually would snap.
Yeah, the trigger was malfunctioning.
But it did go, and it's like, one, ow, two, props to, like, all props to Sami Zayn for doing this. Sami Zayn would come out of losing, and Johnny Knoxville goes over, him and the Jackass crew walk off victorious. But it's like, this was just, everything was a spectacle. And after all the seriousness of pro wrestling we got on night one, even though there were some fun shenanigans, it was a lot more serious. This was WrestleMania entertainment at its finest.
It should be noted that the mousetrap was used for the pin. Like, Johnny used the mousetrap for the assist to pin Sammy.
Because that was the only way Johnny realistically could keep a pro wrestler down.
I love this for the simple fact that it was absolutely creative as hell.
Yeah.
It was one of the most creative, inventive, hardcore matches WWE has put on in quite some time. It's not the most brutal, although it did have its moments. It was definitely creative, and the fact that they added the Jackass flair to it is entirely appropriate, because it's Johnny Knoxville. People were expecting that. If you walked into this expecting a serious pro wrestling match between Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville, I'm so sorry for you. Everything about this feud indicated that this is exactly where this was going to go. From the moment it started, that's where this was. It was going to end up here.
Yeah.
And it was going to end up with these level of shenanigans. And I think, for the most part, a lot of people were okay with it. There were some people who were very upset about it because Sammy lost. But once again, they're not going to have Sami Zayn beat the celebrity. Like, do you have any idea? Like, has anybody been paying attention to the news in terms of how many times Sami Zayn has popped up in news sites outside of pro wrestling, linked to Johnny Knoxville, linked to this feud? Like, hit the fact that, you know, people were calling his phone number for days. They might still be calling it. I don't know. But that hit the mainstream media. Like, I pulled up Yahoo one day, and there it is on Yahoo in the main section. That Johnny Knoxville leaks Sami Zayn's phone number. And here it is. It's like, that is huge.
Yeah.
Sami got a huge, and I hate to keep using that word, but Sami got a fairly impressive rub off of this. Because he's working with Johnny. They trusted him enough to work with Johnny, who has absolutely no pro wrestling experience whatsoever.
None. He did not train pro wrestling wise, because did he take a normal wrestling bump in this match? Maybe took one.
Like, Sami did all the work, all the move work. Sami did all the work in this. Johnny helped, and Johnny was there, and the Jackass boys were there, and they helped. But for pretty much the most part, Sami was out here selling the feud. Sami was out here doing the matches. Sami was out here doing the work. And he got a huge rub because of that. And the fact that they trusted him with Johnny Knoxville, trusted him with this feud, speaks volumes to how he's viewed in that company.
It's why they re-signed him, because they trust him to be put in a position to fight. Last year, him and Kevin had the spot with Logan, right?
Yeah.
When Logan was like the enforcer or whatever, and they did all this stuff there. And this go around, he's trusted with Johnny Knoxville, like a legit mainstream celebrity in a wrestling match on WrestleMania. Like, they trust him to deliver, and guess what? He delivered, and people went like, well, what does that do? He lost to Jackass. It took four guys to beat him in a mousetrap. Perfect for Sami Zayn's character to, like, it took a mousetrap to beat me.
He'll walk out on SmackDown tomorrow, and he will recover. He will be completely fine. This loss doesn't hurt him in the least. It wasn't embarrassing. Like, this match went almost 15 minutes. It wasn't like Johnny Knoxville walked out there and, like, squashed him in 2 seconds. This went for 15 minutes. This got time.
Yeah.
This was the second longest match on night two. That tells you everything you need to know about it right there. They featured it because it's got a celebrity in it, but because it was that meaningful.
When you think WrestleMania, you think classic matches and celebrity moments. This is a celebrity moment that we'll all remember. Hey, do you remember that time Sami Zayn fought John and Axel at WrestleMania and they had this big-ass mousetrap? Yup.
And that's the thing. It's about the impression it leaves and the fact that people are still talking about it. People will remember it. It's going to go in clip packages for years to come. And there will be Sami right there with Johnny Knoxville. Sami even came out and said that the important thing is one of his favorite matches because it's important because people will remember it. People will talk about it. And that is the whole point of it, is you want to have one of the memorable matches on a night, on a two-night show that had, what, 16 matches on it? And yours is one of the standouts? I can't think of anything better than that.
There's no new Jackass. There's no more Jackass movies. They already had the final one.
This was to help promote the final one that just came out. But that, they're not doing that anymore.
Johnny's done.
Johnny's a little beat up. I don't think he wants to do anymore. I think it's, if Jackass continues, he'll probably produce it, but he's not doing the stunts himself.
No, they build this as the finale they had. But as,
and rightfully so.
But as a dead man says, never say never.
This is very true. It is Johnny Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on from there. Oh, we have to talk about this match. We had the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the WWE Women's Championship. There were too many tops in this match. Number one, you had Sasha Banks and Naomi with a banging entrance. Sasha came out in a Lamborghini, a neon green Lamborghini that apparently Vince gifted her, taking on Carmella and Queen Zelina. And Carmella was dressed as a bride because she's getting married, I think, today, actually. So congratulations.
Yeah, if you look at Natty's Twitter, yep, it's happening right now because she's posting all the pictures of all the wrestlers getting together.
And Queen Zelina, who looked fierce.
She did.
She looked so good. They were your champions, taking on Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, who had a whipping good time. They were the cat in the bat, and Liv had her whip. And, I mean, it's something like when you got to do WrestleMania at 8, but you got to be kinky at 9. So they just coordinated. Lots of latex going on there. Masks, the whole works.
The whole works. If you would like to buy Liv Morgan's whip, it's barely on auction at WWE.com.
She apparently smacked Kayla Braxton in the ass with it, so there you go.
I mean, there you go. So if you want it, by all means, it's on auction, I think, at the moment.
Taking on Natalya and Shayna Baszler. This is good. This was really good.
All right. It's up to $5,000 on bid. There's 36 bids already for this whip. Y'all are messed.
You thirsty bitches.
Y'all. Calm the fuck down.
Just admit that you're kinky. Just admit it.
Good Lord.
Fine. No one will judge. They understand she doesn't come with it, right?
I hope so. I guess because it touched her hand and booties of other people, I guess that's the appeal. $5,000 already. It's only been open for a couple hours.
I want to track that. I want to see how high that goes.
Yeah. Anyway, this match, pretty good. I enjoyed it. Wasn't the best match you'll ever see, but all four teams worked really well. Everyone got their shit in. There was a double Tower of Doom spot in this match. Everyone looked good. We have new tag champs in Sasha and Naomi. They had the Codebreaker Glam Slam combo thing. They did for the win. I liked everything about this. This was enjoyable. It was it wasn't as bad as a train wreck as the tag match they tried a couple last year with the teams, which came off as a train wreck. This was a lot better. This was a lot more concise and booked. Welcome back, TJ Wilson, for booking women's wrestling again. Yep. I was a little shocked that Rhea and Liv didn't get it, but I kind of figured Sasha and Naomi would come out on top. I thought the champions looked fine. I thought everyone played their parts well.
This went very well. I thought this was good. It was a nice sort of let's get back down to business to defeat the Huns kind of moment for the show after the Jackass match. It brought you back into the show, into the wrestling. It changed the tone. This was perfect. All the women looked fantastic. They wrestled very well. I can't complain about this. I was shocked about Liv and Rhea not winning, but then they did what they did on Raw, and it's okay, that makes more sense as to why they didn't go there, because it seems like Rhea is destined for other things, so I get it. Moving on from there, we have, we have to talk about this match. Edge taking on AJ Styles, but it wasn't just any Edge. Oh no. No. We have Edge out here straight up trying to revive the Ministry of Darkness.
So we're sitting here, right? And we're just like, I'm sitting here trying to figure this entrance out. Cause it's all purple and he has wings on the set and it's all dark and smoky, like Undertaker, like.
Edge became the Undertaker. That's what happened.
It's like a legitimate Edge became Undertaker. We're sitting here going, and it's like, he's Ministry Edge. That was like the first thing that popped in my head is like, he's Ministry Edge. And it all makes sense. As you plan it, look, as things are going, it's the Edge of Darkness. But he had this whole grand entrance and everything like that. He even got the Undertaker's, title card.
Yeah, he got the title card. He got,
everything. Like,
everything. The smoke, the fire, the lighting, the robe.
Yeah. He had a badass looking entrance. It was fantastic.
I mean, he kind of wrote, he had like the fire and it's like, wait, are they going to do the Brood entrance again? And then he rises up out of the fire on this like really kicking throne. And then he's in like this all leather coat and it's like, yep, he's Taker. And it's the Ministry. It has that, I don't want to say it's exactly that because they're not sacrificing people and there's no symbols and that kind of thing, but it has that same vibe. It's like a modern version of it.
Yeah.
And it was really cool.
It was really cool. But, oh, poor AJ. Poor AJ Styles.
Oh, man. He makes his WrestleMania entrance and he cuts his face on the set.
Like, at first I ever thought it was the pyro, but it wasn't the pyro. Because video came out later and you just see him walking through the entrance and he just smacks his head on the thing. And it's like, oh, shit. And then Pat McAfee told a story this week on his show where basically everyone came up to him after going, make sure you just, because everyone's freaking out about AJ cutting himself. Like, hey, look out for the thing. Make sure you duck. Make sure you stop. They were all telling him to duck before he did his entrance later because AJ just smacked his head on the thing and cut his cheek wide open. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, he had like blood running down his face.
He was not happy.
Yeah, he was a little upset, but this was
all right. It dragged a little bit, like any Edge match. Because when Edge gets in the ring, he likes to tell his story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a lot of time to tell a story, so there's a lot of slowness, I guess, at points. But slowness is not a bad thing. It's traditional pure wrestling, and it's like, everything they did was good, it was fine. It was just, there's something about it that just I didn't fully connect with. Because it took to the end for it to really start picking up, and then it ended really fast.
Edge's matches are typically very methodical, especially lately, because he likes to kind of settle into them. And like you said, he tells the story and he does the thing. And that can be a little difficult to get into. And this match was harder with the story. Like every other match on this card more or less had a story to it, with the exception of like one or two. Like the Bobby Lashley almost match was just there. This was another match that was just kind of there because Edge wanted a match at WrestleMania and he wanted somebody to challenge him, and so AJ Styles stepped up and challenged him, and then you had Edge go all Ministry and you did a whole giant gimmick change in the build, and you never really, you're still kind of feeling that out and you're still sort of sorting that out, and you never had that like moment between AJ and Edge. Like this never built to a fever pitch.
Oh god,
that's the thing. Like this was just there.
I thought about it because I just thought about something. So like it was about what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, we did the Undertaker tier list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the Undertaker's feuds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how some of them started at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, this is going to go.
This is gonna continue. It's another case that he's the Undertaker.
Yeah, it's like this is, they're going to probably go to SummerSlam with this, and they started it here. And that's why it's like, this is not the strongest offering. It's going to keep going, because what happened in this match as well is you saw Edge grow his ministry by adopting Damian Priest, which, good on him. If that gets him out of that weird gimmick that he was doing, then so be it. And gives him a much better, bigger role. I'm here for it. And yeah, we saw on Monday where, you know, Damian is now part of Edge's stable. Supposedly Rhea is going to join that as well. Although, you know, Liv can go as a set.
She could. And with SummerSlam being a lot earlier this year, you can sort of drag this to SummerSlam, because SummerSlam's in July this year.
Yeah, it's early.
It's like July 28th or 29th, something like that. not in August. So, anyway, it was, like I said, it was alright. It was alright to good at times, but it never hit that big crescendo where you really got the full impact of what the match should be. And again, coming off of what we saw the night prior and earlier in the show with Jackassery, a long drawn out match kind of feels weird like in those moments, you know what I mean? It's like your mind's, you've done Jackassery, so it's like, now you gotta sit and be methodical and get, really try to dive down deep. It's like, it didn't roll and click with me as much as it did for others. Other people probably enjoyed it and loved it, but to me it's like, it just sort of was there, kind of dragged.
It was just okay. Like, it wasn't, and again, I think what it kind of lacked was the story. And we're going to get more of the story. It's going to continue. It's going to build. We saw continue on Monday. So this is going to grow into something more. And then by the time they have the final match, it will be much better. But this was just the start.
And it's also hard to hate Edge. Like,
yeah.
It's good that he wants to be heel and try a new character and everything, but it's like hard to get into like heel Edge, because it's like you're rooting for the comeback with the neck and everything. It's like, yeah, he's back, and he's back, you know, doing something new, which is great. But it's like, I don't know. It's heel Edge is going to take some time.
He has to settle into the role, because I think the hardest thing with him is he's still being Edge, but now he's just being Dick Edge. And so it's like, you have to settle back into that, because, you know, as we all know, he's been a heel in the past and it's been very different from this. And it's just different. It's just hard, right? And we just have to get into it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll continue to feel it out, because he's feeling this out. You can see it, that he's just trying to see where he wants to go with it. But I mean, so far the presentation is cool, and if they give him a stable, okay, that's great.
If he can help elevate others, then it's worth it.
And it's totally worth it. Moving on from there, we have the match that everybody complained about because it was too short. But we all kind of see the reason why. It got canceled from night one. It is Sheamus and Ridge Holland with Butch, aka Pete Dunne, taking on the New Day.
The memorable thing about this is they came out in Big E's gear. They've got gear.
It was so sweet.
They got gear made to have Big E's phrases and stuff on it, which was really cool. New Day would lose. It went under 2 minutes. I didn't expect much from it. I don't know if anyone should have. Like, we told you when we previewed it, it was not going to be much of a thing. And it went the way it should have. If you're going to put Sheamus and Ridge over as a group, they had to go over the New Day. If it was New Day proper, all three of them, this would have went longer, had more excitement to it, and probably a different outcome. But because there was no Big E, this is how it should have gone. Could they have given them a couple more minutes? Yeah, but it wouldn't have been... It wasn't going to make any sort of impact or dent onto the show, no matter how much time you gave to it. If it went long, people would complain how long it went, because it probably wasn't going to be that great. And that's not the fault of the talent. It's you're on a show where you have big, spectacular matches, and this is just a regular tag match with nothing at stake.
I do feel bad for everybody involved in this match, because I'm sure they had more planned. I'm sure they had a much longer match planned, although it could have been this short on night one, and night one just ran long. But I mean, they got on the show, they were there, they were able to perform, and yeah, if it had been all three of them, which I think was the original intent, then this would have been more, but as it stands with the loss of Big E, because unfortunately he broke his neck, it was what it was. And, I mean, a lot of people were just upset by this.
And in any other year where they used to do these big kickoff shows and have extended matches on kickoff shows, this is where you would have put it. They didn't do any pre-show matches.
Which was an interesting choice.
But it's a very understandable choice, because they want to make this the event. So it's like, we're going to... Because every year, everyone complains, why is someone on the pre-show? You can move something else on the pre-show. You know what I mean? So they didn't give you... And then this year, people were complaining there was nothing on the pre-show. It was like, y'all sit here complaining about the people who get put on there. Like, this would have been your perfect pre-show match.
Yeah.
But
this...
it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't in the cards, and I think we've talked longer about it than the match was.
Yeah, the match was only like 1:40, and that doesn't include entrances.
Yeah. So it was what it was.
All right. We have to talk about it. The train wreck That was Pat McAfee, Austin Theory, Vince McMahon, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So let's talk about the match first. Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory.
Yeah, which match? I mean, that's where there were two of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get into the match, so Vince came out with Austin Theory and they took their selfie, right?
Which is a big... Vince McMahon took a selfie in the middle of the ring.
Huge, right? And then the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders come out and, you know, all right, cool. And it's like you have the Seven Nation Army song playing by the White Stripes and like, oh. And the crowd is just, the crowd's getting into it. They're singing the song. They're getting into it. And then Pat comes out with the cheerleaders and Pat's looking like this huge rock star with this, like, I'm surprised he doesn't have like any real gear, but he's wearing his pants and his tank top and he's rocking out, and the crowd's going bonkers for him.
Props to whoever caught the football he kicked into the crowd.
Yeah, he did the punt into the crowd with the football. And, like, he was a huge star. He looked the part. Everything was perfect.
He looked like a goddamn rock star.
Yeah.
Like an actual legit rock star. Like, they made him look like a million bucks.
Yeah. And throughout the match, they're humming the song as he's doing it. It was on the offense. It's like it was his match with Theory was a great like experience. It wasn't a great match, but it was a great experience.
I told Rock afterwards, it's like I'm not sure who this was the coming out party for. Was this for Pat McAfee or Austin Theory? Because I don't know, because they both were featured in this match. You had Austin with Vince. Like Vince was sitting there at ringside watching the whole match.
Yeah.
He's a part of this. It's not just he's been backing Austin this whole time and we don't see him. No, Vince is essentially managing Austin.
Yeah.
Which is that is a huge deal in that company to be working with Vince like that. And then you have Pat a part of it who's they do the whole entrance for him. He's doing really, really well in the match. He's improved since the last time we saw him wrestle against Adam Cole. I mean, it wasn't anything great. It wasn't anything to write home from, but they both made both guys look phenomenal.
Yeah, NXT Pat wrestler was better than Mania. Yeah, Pat as an NXT wrestler was the better wrestler. Pat McAfee WrestleMania was the better wrestling entertainer. He was your better sports entertainer on that night.
What helped with NXT was he was in the ring with Adam Cole.
Yeah.
And that's not to knock Austin Theory, but Austin Theory is still a little young to be carrying a match with Pat McAfee, but they trusted him to be in the ring with Pat McAfee, and they did all right. Was it the greatest thing I've ever seen? Absolutely not, but I don't think anybody really remembers this for the match. It's what happened after the match.
There's some stuff I need to get through about the match. One, Pat getting on commentary and trash talking was fantastic. That was great. He picks up the headset, starts trash talking. That was great. He threw the water in his face because that was called back to something that happened like a couple nights on SmackDown. So like all that, him going up to the top rope, doing the backflip, like going up for the suplex, doing the backflip, landing on his feet, then leaping up and doing the superplex. Oh, that was fantastic. That was awesome.
And then Michael Cole backing him up the whole time.
Yeah.
Michael Cole being his backup singer the whole time and supporting his friend.
Yeah. It was great. McAfee hit the schoolboy and got the win. It was perfect. Like, it was the perfect outcome to the whole situation. Should Austin Theory maybe win? Yeah, but guess what? He got the rob. He was fine. And everyone was so pumped. Crowd's going nuts. Pat McAfee looks like a star. And then Vince is walking with Austin, and he's yelling, kind of yelling at Austin Theory, and then Pat's jawjacking Vince, and they're like, Vince looks back at him, is like, oh, you talking to me? We're gonna do this? Yeah. So Vince, you know, gets in the ring. And they're jawjacking, and Vince then takes off his jacket and his shirt. And it's like, here comes a referee. And it's like, we're having a match. Austin Theory decks Pat and like, here we go. We get a match. Vince McMahon and Pat McAfee. And boy, oh boy, was this a thing.
People were into this. They were hot for it. Yeah, like the second Vince took his shirt off and you saw the infamous black Vince McMahon tank top is like, oh hell.
Just a little higher.
Vince's gonna fight.
Just a little higher this time.
just a little higher. He covered up the boobies. Because, you know, he didn't want to have the moob situation. Which, I'm just going to disclaimer this. Vince McMahon at his age has no business being in a wrestling ring. No, but I'm not going to argue with him because it's his company. But me personally, like, Vince has no business doing this. Because
people did. They tried to talk him out of this for months. And it was like, you know, when they came out, like, Pat's going to wrestle Vince. Like, everyone's like, I was like, no, he's not going to do it. And then they changed it also. Theory's like, nah, it's not going to happen. And then it happens. And this was just a cluster, you know what. Pat sold the hell out for Vince. Anytime Pat started getting ready to do something offensive, Austin Theory would get in the ring or trip him or whatever. And then Vince McMahon had the crowd in the palm of his hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets the football and he's teasing the punt into the crowd. It's like, Vince, you're never going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. He has the crowd eating it up. Like gangbusters, and then he punts the football into McAfee and pins him. And it's like, okay, Vince McMahon got his revenge. Like, Vince has wanted to do this for months because Vince McMahon, you know, wanted to get in the ring. He didn't do a lot. He walked around. He strutted. He did Vince things. But guess what? He felt the need to get. He wanted to be involved with the crowd because guess what? There may not a lot of other times he can do it. So he felt good enough to get in the ring and do it with Pat. Shows how much he trusts Pat to do it and it likes Pat because, you know, and it's why Vince went on his show. They get along. So it was like, it worked perfectly.
That's why I say, I'm not sure who this was the coming out for party for, if it was Austin Theory or if it was Pat McAfee. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Because of what happened in this entire match. And we're not done.
No.
Because wait, there's more.
So they're celebrating in the ring and then Austin Theory's music hits, and Vince freaks out, thinking it was something else. And then 10 seconds later, the glass shattered. And out came Stone Cold Steve Austin. Braces on, wrist taped. Austin's coming to the ring. He gives Austin Theory the stunner, and then, you know, he jawjacks with Vince. And is like, this is your boy? Really? This is the thing? And then it's like, how about we have some beers? And he gives one to Vince. And oh my god, Vince sipping the beer. Was fantastic because he's keeping an eye because he knows what's coming, but he's keeping an eye. I'm just gonna sip this beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tasted like wine. Like someone said, I'm tired. He's a wine drinker, not a beer drinker, and so he's sipping it like wine. He's like, oh, okay, it's good, yeah. And they were like, okay, cool, everything's good. And then they took the big swig of the beer. Awesome kicks in the gut, and then Vince fell. Oh, Vince fell down to his knees before he hit someone with the stunner, and then staggers back up, staggers into the ropes, and ends up giving him a stunner, in quotations. And then Austin started laughing. McAfee got in the ring. They had a beer, gave him a stunner. Austin gave the crowd the finger and left. Okay, so Lindsay will tell you, I couldn't stop laughing.
I don't think either one of us could stop laughing. Like, the Vince, I'm just going to call it what it was. The Vince botch on the stunner was ridiculous. It was horrific. It was awful. It was perfect. It was just, this whole segment was a train wreck. But it's exactly what it needed to be. And the fact that you had Austin and Vince one more time in that final moment, because it's probably the last time that we're going to see them do something like this, because please God, never let Vince take a stunner ever again.
I mean, to be fair, the first stunner wasn't a good stunner, so this one couldn't be a good one either.
I mean, Vince, I think, historically just doesn't know how to take the stunner. Like, he's never taken it well.
Vince does not know how to go down on his knees. Everyone, nope.
He never practiced that, apparently. Everybody else is apparently very good at going down on their knees. Vince McMahon doesn't know how to go down on his knees. Anyway, this was exactly what it needed to be, because I remember sitting here watching this and watching Vince with Pat McAfee and Austin Theory, and I'm like, God, wouldn't it be awesome if Austin came out? And you just had that moment, and then sure enough, glass breaks, and it's like, oh yes, they're going to fan service the hell out of this. I feel bad for anybody that has to follow this, because the ring's going to be soaked with beer, it's going to be nasty, but you know what, the fact that we're getting Austin and Vince one more time, and we're getting that nostalgia moment, which we all need, is just perfect. And just the whole thing, even with the bad stunner, was just perfect, because then you had Austin take a stunner, and Austin got the height on the cell. And then you had Pat McAfee take the stunner. And Pat McAfee, I think in general, sold it better. But I think we have a new number one for oversell on the stunner. I think Rock Spot has been replaced by Austin Theory. I'm gonna casually throw that out there, but I feel like just based on everything that I saw, that's what happened. But I don't know. But yeah, this was stupid. It was fantastic. It was exactly what it needed to be. It was this perfect moment to lift the show. It re-energized the crowd. Everybody was beyond into it. You know, Pat looked good. Austin looked good. Aside from the bad stunner, Vince looked good. Austin is Austin. Like, it was everything you could want and more.
Yeah.
We even had middle fingers from Austin. Yeah. Like, come on.
So the best part about this whole thing, right? It's been talked about. It was talked about for 3 straight days on ESPN in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the Greenberg show or whatever it's called. Get Up. He would ask people at the end of every show. It's like, so what'd you think of Pat, our buddy Pat? What do you think of Pat and his performance? And everyone put him over, and it was on First Take, and everyone was putting over Pat doing like things because it's like, you know, it's Pat McAfee. He's a big deal in sports. So the fact that it got out there multiple days and multiple times, like, that's what you want. He was on things leading up to it, and, you know, yeah, it was pretty good. This did everything in the YouTube, and all the reports that came out since. Where Vince was fine with it, even though, you know, it was bad, you know, his performance was terrible with the stunner. Everything about it came out perfect. If people laughed and were entertained, then that's what matters.
It's one of those things where you have to respect Vince McMahon tremendously. For all of the bad things that he is more than willing to go out there and make a complete fool of himself in front of God and everybody, quite literally, and be fine with it. And he's not asking anybody to do anything more than what he wouldn't do himself.
Nope.
And he went out there and he made a fool of himself. And he knew he was going to do it. But it was entertaining. It was fun. And this achieved exactly what it needed to achieve. It was in the news. It's been in the news for 3 straight days. There's been multiple things from WrestleMania, pretty much from the celebrity appearances, for the most part, that have been in the news for days. Like, they were talking about the Pokemon card that Logan Paul wore to the ring.
His world record Pokemon card.
Yeah, the fact that he set a world record at WrestleMania. And they showed the pictures of him getting the world record at WrestleMania. You had Pat McAfee getting talked about. You had Johnny Knoxville getting talked about. Like, that's the whole intent of why you bring the celebrities in and why you do stuff like this, is because you can put on a regular wrestling show or you can put on a spectacle and you can have people talking about it for days to come. And that's exactly what's happened. The fact that people are still discussing it, they're still talking about it. It's still, hey, that, you know, that giant mousetrap with Sami Zayn, or yeah. Dude, did you see Stone Cold? Stone Cold came back, and it was Stone Cold.
Yeah.
You had Austin taking bumps on night one on concrete. He had no business taking a bump on concrete on night one, but he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is like, that's the whole intent of this show, is that it is a spectacle. It is designed to be expectable because it's designed to be remembered. 6 months from now, they still want you to remember back to WrestleMania because they're going to have feuds that started at the show, and they need you to remember back to this show. So they're going to make sure that you remember it, whether you want to or not. And by the way, if you watch the show, even if you didn't pay for it, they still got what they wanted. Even if they didn't get their money, they still got your attention. They still sold you on it. Just saying. But yeah, this was good. I enjoy this tremendously. This was the moment the show kind of needed. And this was a longer segment. This was about 13 minutes long, but it was completely worth it.
Yeah, it was like a 30 minutes between entrances and everything. It was like a good half hour. Oh, so the ironic thing, before we get to the main event, because we're going to talk about it. So people went back to night one. Speaking of Austin, he came out at the 3:16 mark.
Of course he did. Of course he did. How else would you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely appropriate.
All right, let's get to the main event.
So last but certainly not least, the unification match, winner take all. The WWE and Universal Championships are on the line as the respective champions Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman and the Bloodline take on Brock Lesnar. This was good.
This was everything you knew it would be. It wasn't a great wrestling match. No one ever thought the biggest WrestleMania match of all time was going to be a great wrestling match, because Brock is signature and finisher only. Roman Reigns would then have to be signature and finisher only. because that's the style Brock likes to work. He likes to be physical, aggressive, and like, he doesn't like any of like the drag out stuff. He doesn't like, you know, when he's not selling for a long time, he's not doing all these little bits and stuff like that. He's not sitting in a headlock for 5 minutes. That's not Brock. He's smash mouth, get in there, fight. He treats everything like, okay, I'm fighting like I'm in the cage. We're gonna fight. We're just gonna fight as long as we can go. And usually it's about 10 to 15 minutes. And that's a Brock match. So you had suplexes, you had finishers, you had Superman punches, you had the typical spear through the barricade. Paul Heyman was great. Oh, like Paul Heyman did the intro for Roman like he used to do for Brock. And then Brock. Oh my God, Brock grabbed the microphone and did his own intro.
And Heyman's standing there like, you bastard.
The look Paul Heyman gave him when he did it, like, God damn son of a bitch.
It's like, I hate you. I love you, but I hate you.
I love
right
everything
now.
About you, but I hate you, you son of a bitch. So yeah, this was good. It was a fight. So at one point Brock gets him in the Kimura, Roman gets to the rope. He was yelling his shoulder popped out during it. And then Roman hit the F5, or Roman hit the spear for the win. It seemed really quick to the finish. Basically, you were looking for a little bit more. I think a lot of people were waiting to see Heyman get his comeuppance. He did not, though.
That was surprising, which means I think this is going to go on in some way for a while, and at some point, Heyman's going to get his.
Like, that's the thing. You would think he was going to get it. And he didn't. And I was very surprised. Surprised that Brock lost. More surprised that Heyman didn't take a punch, didn't take something from it. He just sort of left unscathed. He walked out with his boy, and there it is. And tomorrow night on SmackDown, they're going to tell the world what their next plan is, because they only teased it on SmackDown. So it's like, okay. In the end, will this live up to the hype of the build for the match? No. But I don't. Like, when you called Edge and Randy the greatest wrestling match of all time, it was never going to live up to the hype. Calling this the biggest match of all time, the biggest match in WrestleMania history, stakes-wise, yes, it had a lot on the line. Will it go down as the biggest match? No, it won't.
There will be bigger.
There will be bigger. There will be more monumental moments and matches. But it will be... Roman finally got the monkey off his back. He finally beat him after 3 times... at WrestleMania, sort of like The Rock. We talked about it during the preview, where The Rock finally beat Austin at WrestleMania. He got that monkey off the bat. Rock could beat Austin any day of the week, but when it came to WrestleMania, he lost twice in the main event. Roman did the same thing with Brock. He lost at 31, he lost at 33, and now finally got him at 38. Yeah, finally got him at 38. So it's like, he finally got the moment he was looking for. So, and it was a WWE thing to do because Roman's the man. He's the head of the table, the tribal chief. He's their star. As popular and big as Brock is, they want history books to remember Roman Reigns as the man. So making him the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, ooh-woo.
Please keep that.
That's something, ooh-woo.
Please. Please keep that. Please do it. I beg you.
So at the end of the day, it worked. It made sense. Could the outcome have been different? Could the match have been better? Yeah, but based on how things went, I guess it was the way it should have been.
I will say I don't think this is the end of the story. I think this is just the end of the chapter for these two. I think plans may have changed. I don't know. That's just me speculating, but... I think the big question is who's going to come for Roman Reigns now? Who's going to take a title or both titles off of him? That's the $64,000 question. Nobody knows, because this sort of left this. We were talking about it when we were previewing the show, was if Roman wins, who goes for him next? And the answer is, I don't think anybody knows, because it's Roman has beaten pretty much everybody on SmackDown. Now there's one person who showed up who Roman has never faced, and you could build to that point, but I don't know if they're going to go for that right away or not. He's supposed to be on SmackDown tomorrow. We'll see. That would be one Cody Rhodes. But it's an interesting conundrum, and I like how they did it on Monday, like I said, on the post show, which is you had Roman bask in the victory. Bask in the moment and just basically take all the glory that he's achieved, you know, which is he finally, like you said, he finally beat Brock at WrestleMania. He exercised the demon. He is healed.
He is healed. Yeah.
You know, his shoulder looks fine. He looked healthy. I think they may have ended the match a little bit early because they were concerned about his shoulder. But again, that's just pure speculation. But I was shocked to see that Paul did not get his comeuppance. That's coming. That is so coming at some point. We don't know when, but he's going to get it.
And probably overall, and probably when he least expects it, too.
Probably when he least expects it. But overall, I feel like this was a very good way to close WrestleMania. I thought this was a good night, too. Do I think it was stronger than night one?
I was more of a fan of night one.
I liked night one better from a performing perspective, but from an entertainment perspective, I feel like night two was just a little bit more entertaining. Just because you had more of the comedy stuff on it, whereas night one was more serious.
It was a little bit more serious, but you also had the big Cody thing. You had, from a spectacle standpoint, I don't know, I enjoyed night one more because you had Becky and Bianca in a really good match. You had Cody and Seth with a good match and the Austin stuff. Like, that was out of this world on night one. Like, as a whole, if you did this in 7 hours like you used to...
Oh my god, can you imagine?
This would have been a fantastic WrestleMania run. As a two-night show, it went really, really well. I thought everything that they did on these shows worked. Could some of it have been better? Yeah. But I got my enjoyment out of it. I actually paid an extra $5 for this show. Because I tried watching it with commercials, and I was like, no, can't watch WrestleMania with commercials, no. Mainly, here's why. If you notice, because it was happening to Lindsay, when they go to when the commercials on Peacock, they came back. You came back more delayed.
Yeah, I started ahead of Rock on night one, and by the end of night one, I think I was a full minute behind him. Like, the delay with the commercials was pretty bad. And basically, to stop it, you have to, like, back out and then come back in, which I was refusing to do because I just can't be bothered. And yeah. I couldn't find a remote.
That's why I paid $5 to get rid of the commercials for a month. I was like, I can't do this. Like, because if you're living in a world where you're trying to talk to people who are also watching the show, every time the thing would go on delay was terrible. I was tracking it. It was like, it started at 5 seconds. It was like because I had the live feed going on the computer and I had the other one on TV. It's like, okay, it's 5 seconds. And it was like, and this is just a pre-show. It was like, and that's how you can really tell the time because of the difference in the clocks. When they put them up, it's like, oh, it just kept, every time they went to break, it got longer and longer. It's like, I would reset it. It would be shorter again. It would be back to like 5 seconds. Like, I can manage 5 seconds. I can manage maybe 10. But when it comes to 20, 30, 40, every time they went to commercial, whatever it did, it just like, it pushed it further back. It's like, oh, that's not good. So, and usually with their commercials, you really couldn't tell because everything kind of stayed the same. This was not good with their commercial breakdown.
No.
But again, if you're sitting there watching it yourself or with a group of people and you're not on social media or not on Skype like me and Lindsay were talking about it,
you're not going to notice.
You're not going to notice. But if you're doing communications and watching it with different people in different places, you would know the difference. If you're not sitting there looking at your phone on Twitter, you wouldn't have been spoiled by the outcome for an hour or by a minute. Those are the little things. So overall, I enjoyed WrestleMania.
I thought it was good. I know it did its job because I woke up on Monday morning and I had a wrestling hangover. It wasn't as bad as some years past, but I still had a wrestling hangover. So I know the show was good because that occurred. And I have had like no energy all week. So thanks WWE for that. But yeah, I mean, was it the greatest WrestleMania I've ever seen? No. Was it a good WrestleMania? Yeah, absolutely. I think it achieved everything that they wanted it to achieve and more. And the fact that this is the first full WrestleMania that we have had, I have no complaints. My only complaint is the fact that we had to say goodbye to Hunter and Taker the same night.
So we got two Taker appearances.
We got two Taker appearances, and he milked the last one. Like, night two, he milked the shit out of that.
Because it was only him.
Because it was only him. Like, everybody else from the Hall of Fame was not there on night two. They let him come out one more time in front of the crowd with the entrance, and he said goodbye. And he was standing there trying not to cry, and it's like, for the love of God, Mark, please do not cry because I will cry with you. But he milked it for all it was worth, and good on him for it.
Yeah. All right, so housekeeping, really quick. WWE 2K22 went 5-9.
Okay.
So it came under 500 for its big return back after like 3 years. Which you can see them all at youtube.com/rockradioshow. Think Lindsay, you went 6-8.
Okay. Not bad.
The Wheel and 8 Ball went 7-7.
Shit.
I went 8-6. You had a good night one, you had a terrible night two.
Yeah, they threw me on night two.
You went 4-2 on night one, 2-6 on night two. That's kind of where it got you. But that's okay. You rather have a bad record than a good one. Because if you can predict it all, then it's too goddamn predictable.
Like, I think the hardest thing was Roman and Brock. Like, you just did not know which way that was going to go at all.
Yeah.
I think the other one was kind of Edge and AJ. You just didn't know how that was going to go. You could only base it on what you know in terms of how they book. I was like, well, they could throw a wrench in this.
They could.
Or they may not.
Or they may not, yeah. But overall, very enjoyable show. They did their job. And guess what? That's all we can really ask. It's for them to do their job.
Yeah. So with that, I think we're done.
We are, in fact, done. So that'll do it for the Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's another edition of CB Radio. And yes, chat, right beforehand, we're doing Fortnite. Fortnite with Friends is finally back. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday night at Russell Talk Radio. Monday night, it's a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, with your normal show. News, notes, discussion, NXT, all your favorites. It's The Rack, live Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com. This is Wild Talk Radio. Rack Radio Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Amazon Music, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple, Spotify. To search for The Rack Radio Show. If you have Amazon Prime links, your Twitch account's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite I am sure or Epic Gamester. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Buy your Assassin's Creed skin now in the game.
Ding. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can follow my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. Give me a follow over there, please, because I'm trying to get to affiliate so we can do more things with the channel. But I do stream Genshin Impact. I will be streaming this weekend because there's a brand new event that just started and we have to do it because it's the event I've been waiting for and I'm very excited. It's the Adori Festival, so yay! And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.